Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hey everyone, ready for another deep dive? Today we're taking a close look at congressional stock trading in 2024. And let me tell you, it's a wild ride. We're going to be using the Congress Trading Report 2024 from Unusual Whales for this one. Now, if you haven't heard of them, Unusual Whales has been doing some amazing work in this area. They've been putting out these reports for a few years now, and they've actually even sparked some, you know, attempts at legislation, though nothing's actually passed yet. But what's really cool is they've teamed up with this app called Autopilot, which lets you actually track what certain members of Congress are investing in. We'll talk more about that later. But first, let's dig into what Unusual Whales found in their latest report.
What's really important to understand how they get this information. Unusual Whales takes all those financial disclosures, you know the ones, that members of Congress have to file. They're called Periodic Transaction Reports, or PTRs for short. And they use all that data to try and figure out how well those congressional portfolios actually did. And the big headline, well, it seems like our elected officials are pretty darn good at picking stocks. Okay, so they beat the market. That's not exactly a huge surprise, right? But give me the numbers. How much are we talking here?
Oh, it's not just a little bit. We're talking significant gains. The report estimates that Democrats saw their portfolio values jump by a whopping 31%, while Republicans weren't too far behind at 26%. Now, remember, the S&P 500, which is kind of the benchmark for the overall market, didn't even come close to those numbers.
Wow, so both parties are crushing it in the market. But Democrats took the lead this year, huh? Any insights into why that might be?
Yeah, the report suggests that Democrats really leaned into the tech sector last year. You know, big wins coming from the usual suspects, those giant tech companies. Republicans, on the other hand, seem to favor financials and commodities a bit more. But here's where things start to get really interesting. When you zoom in on individual members of Congress and their specific trades, you start to see some, you know, intriguing connections.
Okay, I'm all ears. Let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene, for instance. Her portfolio basically went through a complete overhaul after her divorce back in 2022. So she basically started fresh this past year. And the report flags this as something worth noting, especially right, given her, her strong political stances. What are they getting at there?
Well, it's always tricky territory, you see. Whenever a politician makes trades in companies that are directly affected by, let's say, their committee work or policy decisions, it naturally raises questions, right? Now, we can't say for sure that there's any wrongdoing, but
it definitely warrants further scrutiny.
Scrutiny, for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of scrutiny, we can't talk about congressional stock trading without mentioning, well, you know, Nancy Pelosi. This report really dives into her reputation as this, like, almost legendary stock picker, especially when it comes to options trading. And her husband, Paul, is often part of the story, too, making headlines and all that. Yeah, she's definitely become a bit of a lightning rod in this whole debate. And the report highlights her strategy of focusing on what they call deep-in-the-money options, primarily in those, you know, mega-cap tech companies we were just talking about.
Hold on. Back up for a sec. Deep-in-the-money options. Is that, like, something the average person even understands, let alone uses?
It's a bit more complex than just buying regular stocks.
Yeah.
But essentially, it means she's betting that these big tech companies are going to keep going up in value.
Yeah.
To be fair, she's been incredibly successful with this approach. which, you know, has only fueled public fascination and skepticism about her trading activities.
So she's got a knack for picking winners. But it's the timing and those huge gains that really raise eyebrows, right? Like, is it skill, luck, or something else entirely? And it's not just public companies either, right? Didn't the Pelosis have that whole controversy about their investment in a luxury hotel, the one that received COVID relief funds?
Oh, yeah. The Auberge du Soleil. The report mentions that as well, which just adds another layer to the ethical questions surrounding her financial dealings. But
yeah,
it's important to remember that Nancy Pelosi is just one example, albeit a high-profile one. The report highlights a number of other politicians whose trades, well, let's just say they seem to align a little too conveniently with their positions of power.
Okay, spill the tea. Who else caught their attention?
Well, there's Michael McCall's investment in Meta, for example. And the timing is quite interesting. It happened right around the time his bill to ban or force the divestment of TikTok was making its way through Congress.
Interesting timing indeed. What about some of those other names the report mentions?
Well, there's Mark Wayne Mullen. He bought stock in Badger Meters right after Oklahoma announced a whole bunch of water meter upgrades. And what's fascinating is that Senator Mullen sits on the Environmental Services Committee, which, you guessed it, oversees water infrastructure projects.
Okay, that seems a bit more than just coincidence. Are they implying that these politicians are actually using their positions for personal gain?
Well, it's hard to say definitively. But it certainly raises questions about potential conflicts of interest. And then there's Tina Smith. She invested in Tactile Systems, a medical device company. And wouldn't you know it, she's a member of the Senate Committee on Health.
Wow. So we've got members of Congress seemingly using their inside knowledge to make a buck. That has to be illegal, right? What's being done about all of this?
Well, that's the frustrating part, you see. The report actually lists 10 bills, 10, that have been introduced in recent years. And a lot of them had support from both sides of the aisle, aimed at, you know, either banning or at least really restricting congressional stock trading. But get this, none of them have even made it to the floor for a vote.
Seriously, that's crazy. So much talk, so many bills proposed, but no real action. It's like, what's the deal? Is there some kind of invisible force field blocking any real reform? Even President Biden, right at the end of his term, called for a ban. But then he didn't really push for it during his presidency, did he?
It definitely makes you wonder, what's going on behind the scenes, right? Is it just a lack of political will, maybe pressure from, you know, lobbyists? Or could it be that some folks genuinely believe that there's nothing wrong with these trades?
It's a head scratcher for sure. But that's where groups like Unusual Whales and these reports they put out come in, right? Shining a light on all this and giving us the information we need to have these conversations.
And that's where our sponsor Autopilot comes in as well. You mentioned earlier that they let users track congressional portfolios, and it's really more than just keeping tabs, you know. It's about giving people the power to stay informed and potentially even learn from the investment decisions that these politicians are making.
Right, and they've actually got portfolios set up based on the top holdings of Marjorie Taylor Greene and Josh Gottheimer, so you can see exactly what they're investing in real time.
It's incredible, really. Think about it. You could use this information to guide your own investment choices. Or you could just keep an eye on your representatives and see if their actions, you know, actually match up with their financial interests. Knowledge is power, and Autopilot is handing you that power.
I love that. Okay, so we've covered the, you know, big picture trends and some specific examples of, shall we say, eyebrow-raising trades. But the report dives deeper into some individual cases, and I think they're worth exploring a bit more, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Looking at these individual cases can be really revealing. It helps us understand, you know, the nuances of these trading activities and those ethical gray areas that exist.
Exactly. Let's go back to Nancy Pelosi for a minute. This report really paints a picture of her as this almost mythical figure in the world of congressional stock trading.
It is fascinating how she's become both a symbol of, you know, financial savvy and a target for those who are concerned about conflicts of interest. And the report really highlights her strategy of buying those deep-in-the-money options on those big tech companies, often with, well, jaw-dropping returns.
They even give specific examples, right? Like her PanW calls that were up 93%, her AVGO calls up 97%, and let's not forget those NVDA contracts finished up a mind-blowing 273%.
And it's not just the raw numbers, you know? The report points out that she often buys after a dip in a company's stock price, which suggests a deliberate strategy to capitalize on those market fluctuations.
It's like she's got this, like, uncanny sense of when to buy. They also mention her investment in Databricks, an AI company that partnered with Amazon. And of course, you know, Amazon is one of those mega cap tech giants she seems to favor.
Right. And it all contributes to this image of her as someone who's deeply connected to the world of finance and tech and possibly, you know, leveraging that knowledge to her benefit.
It's certainly intriguing, but the report doesn't just focus on Pelosi, right? They highlight other members of Congress with trading patterns that, well, raise some questions.
Exactly. And that's crucial because it shows that this isn't just about, you know, a few high-profile individuals. It's a systemic issue that needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. So Michael McCall and his Meta investment, what else did they say about that?
Well, the report actually reveals that his family has traded Meta stock in the hundreds of thousands, both before and after his TikTok bill passed. And get this, their portfolio is sitting pretty at an all-time high.
Wow. What about Mark Wayne Mullen?
Remember how he bought that Badger Meter stock right before those water meter upgrades in Oklahoma? Well, when he was asked about his, shall we say, well-timed tech investments, he claimed he had no idea what stocks he owned because his portfolio was managed by third-party people.
Oh, come on. That's convenient. But seriously, if these politicians are making decisions that could affect the market, shouldn't they at least know what they're invested in? It's a question of transparency and accountability.
Absolutely. And then there's Tina Smith, who, after buying Tactile Systems stock, was actually criticized by her state's Republican Party chairman. So these trades are attracting attention, and they're raising legitimate concerns about whether personal gain is, you know, taking priority over public service.
Okay, so we've got McCall, Mullen, Smith. Who else is on this list of unusual traders?
Well, the report mentions Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She bought shares in the Hecla Mining Company, a company that directly lobbied the very subcommittee she's on. Then she bought shares in Viasat, a military contractor, while on the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Military Construction. The timing is, well, let's just say it raises eyebrows.
It almost seems too perfect, doesn't it? And it doesn't stop there. Marjorie Taylor Greene buying Tesla shares right before rumors of Trump's team wanting to scrap car crash reporting requirements, which, you know, Tesla opposed. Jared Moskowitz investing in Lockheed Martin while on the House Committee on Foreign Affairs. Mark Wayne Mullen buying Sprouts Farmers Market stock before it shot up 200%. Dan Crenshaw buying Wynn Resorts stock just before a Texas billionaire increased his stake in the company. It's like they've got a crystal ball or something.
You know, what I find most concerning is that many of these trades involve companies that lobby the very committees these politicians sit on. It creates this impression of like a revolving door between government and industry, where personal enrichment seems to be valued over, you know, public service.
I agree. And the report even touches on some of Trump's nominees who had, shall we say, questionable trading histories, like former Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, who both faced scrutiny for their trades during the pandemic. It seems like this issue is everywhere you look.
And yet, we're still waiting for any real action to address it. The report highlights this frustration by listing, you know, 10 bills that were proposed, but they never even made it to a vote.
It's a frustrating cycle. Bills proposed, public outcry, no action, rinse and repeat.
It's enough to make anyone cynical about the whole system, really.
Right. But that's why groups like Unusual Whales and tools like Autopilot are so important. They're providing the information and resources we need to hold our elected officials accountable.
Exactly. We can't count on Congress to, you know, police itself.
Yeah.
We, the citizens, have to stay informed, demand transparency, and push for real change.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground, overall trends, specific examples of these, you know, questionable trades, the lack of reform, and the tools we have to stay informed. But the report goes even further, exploring some broader themes that I think are worth discussing.
Yeah, I agree. These broader themes provide context and help us understand, you know, the systemic nature of this issue.
Exactly. So can we talk about the fact that Congress actually has its own ETFs?
It's certainly one of the more surprising findings of the report.
Right. So there's the Lenin ANC ETF, which tracks Democratic stock disclosures, and the KRUZ ETF, which follows Republican trades. Apparently, Unusual Whales provides the data, and these ETFs try to mirror the holdings that each party's members have been trading.
It's almost like a meta commentary on the whole situation, wouldn't you say? You can literally invest in the trading patterns of Congress.
It's mind-blowing. And what's interesting is that even with these ETFs, Democrats still outperformed in 2024. NANC was up 27%, while KRUZ trailed behind at 14%.
It really shows that this issue goes beyond party lines, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's about a system that seems to favor those in power, regardless of their political affiliation.
I see what you mean. Okay, so we've got ETFs mirroring congressional trades. What else is the report highlighting.
Well, they also touch on the fact that Unusual Whales has created these portfolios on the Autopilot app that track specific themes. So you can follow individual politicians, or you can follow, you know, broader trends in their trading activity.
That's pretty cool. It's like a masterclass in congressional stock trading without actually having to be in Congress. Speaking of which, the report mentions that Unusual Whales analyzed the relationship between, you know, congressional trading gains and factors like age and time in Congress. What did they find?
That's where things get really interesting. They actually charted, like, the percentage change in each member's portfolio against their age. And guess what?
Right.
There was no correlation. Same thing with time in Congress. No correlation whatsoever.
That's fascinating. So it's not about experience or seniority. It's something else entirely.
It makes you wonder if it's about, you know, access to information, networks of influence, or maybe just a certain level of financial savviness that comes with being in those positions of power.
It's a question worth pondering, for sure. What else does the report have to say about this?
Yeah, it does suggest that, you know, there's more to the story than meets the eye. Unfortunately, the report doesn't really offer any concrete answers on that front.
Mm-hmm.
But it does raise some crucial questions about the, you know, the fairness of the system and whether everyone's really playing on a level playing field.
It really makes you think. If members of Congress are consistently outperforming the market, what does that say about the integrity of our, you know, our political system? And where do we even go from here? We've got all this information, all these red flags, but no real action from Congress. So what can we, as, you know, everyday citizens do to push for change?
Well, I think first and foremost, we have to stay informed. Reports like this one from Unusual Whales are absolutely essential for, you know, bringing these practices to light and really sparking a public debate.
I totally agree. The more we know about how our elected officials are managing their money, the better equipped we are to hold them accountable. But knowledge alone isn't enough, is it? What else can we do?
We need to demand more transparency. You know, the current system of financial disclosures, with those broad dollar ranges and the delayed reporting, it just doesn't cut it. We need real-time disclosure of all trades with clear, detailed information about the assets involved.
That makes sense. And what about those 10 bills that were proposed but never even got a vote? Shouldn't we be, you know, pushing our representatives to actually address this issue?
Absolutely. Whether it's a complete ban on congressional stock trading or, you know, stricter regulations and penalties for violations, something needs to change. And that's where tools like Autopilot can be so powerful, you see. By giving us the ability to track the portfolios of specific members of Congress, they're offering a level of transparency that's currently missing from, you know, that official disclosure system.
That's such a good point. It's like you can literally see what your representatives are investing in and when, as it happens. It's like having a front row seat to their financial decision-making process.
Exactly. And that kind of transparency can empower you to ask those tough questions, hold your representatives accountable, and, you know, maybe even learn a thing or two about investing yourself.
So it seems like we're at a pretty critical juncture here. We've got strong evidence that members of Congress are consistently beating the market, often with trades that raise serious ethical concerns. But the system seems resistant to change. Lawmakers are dragging their feet on, you know, any meaningful reform.
The question is, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to accept the status quo, or are we going to demand better from our elected officials?
It's a question we all need to think about. If you're concerned about congressional stock trading, don't just sit on the sidelines, you know. Get informed, talk to your friends and family, reach out to your representatives, and consider exploring tools like Autopilot that can help you stay engaged and, you know, hold those in power accountable.
Remember, the power ultimately rests with the people. It's up to us to demand a system that is fair, transparent, and, you know, truly serves the public interest.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's something to ponder. If Congress continues to resist a stock trading ban, what other measures could be put in place to increase transparency and ensure public trust? Could stricter disclosure rules, independent oversight, or even, you know, a citizen-led watchdog group make a difference?
Or, you know, knowing what you now know about congressional stock trading, would you consider following the investment strategies of specific politicians? Is there a way to separate those ethical concerns from the potential financial gains? It's a complex issue with no easy answers.
Lots to think about, for sure. Thanks for breaking it all down for us.
It was my pleasure.
And to everyone listening, keep those brains buzzing. And until next time, stay curious.